Welcome to the Story Mine. I'm Kathy Barker, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Bullock.
We love the art of storytelling. Stories present powerful images of life.
Kathy, I get so excited when we hit pay dirt here at the Story Mine. It's like coming up with a bucket of gold or a hidden treasure.
Just like striking it rich, huh, Dave?
Today, we're going to hear from a storyteller and playwright from North Carolina. Her story CD, Bobby Pins, has won 3 Storytelling World Awards. This incredible storyteller is the recipient of the Excellence in Storytelling Award. And once you hear her story, The Mustard Seed, you'll understand why. I know that many of our listeners listen to the Story Mine while they're driving, and this story, or stories like this one, I like to call parking lot tales, because if you've reached your destination while listening to this story, you'll just have to pull over and stay in your car until the end of the show, because you're not going to want to miss out on hearing the complete story shared by Linda Goodman, a national touring artist who is heard regularly on NPR Radio.
Let's get right into it. Here's Linda Goodman with The Mustard Seed.
When I got to be school age, my daddy got tired of being constantly unemployed, and so he accepted a job at the Norfolk Naval Shipyard in Portsmouth, Virginia, and moved our family from the mountains that we loved to the city. But we still visited the mountains whenever we could. Every August, Daddy would take a week's vacation. We would ride the Greyhound bus to Norton, Virginia, where my Uncle Paul and my Aunt Virginia would pick us up and take us to their home at the foot of Stone Mountain. At the end of the week, Daddy would get back on the bus and he would go back home. But the rest of us would stay for the remainder of the summer. And I loved staying on Stone Mountain. I could do things there I couldn't do in the city. I could go swimming in the cool, clear water of the mountain lake. I could help my aunt pick gooseberries and ginseng. My favorite activity was just to crouch in those woods very quietly, very still, and wait to see the parade of animals that would march by. Sometimes I'd see a deer, sometimes just a squirrel. Sometimes I'd see a skunk, but when that happened, I hightailed it out of those woods real quick. Another thing that we did when we went to Stone Mountain was to visit the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church. Now, at the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church, you had to let the preacher wash your feet before you entered the sanctuary. Once you were in the sanctuary, you would join the other congregants who would be singing hymns, and as they sang, they clapped their hands and stomped their feet. Every once in a while, one of them would fall right out on the floor and start shivering and shaking. The first time I saw that happen, I turned to my mother and I said, "Mama, Mama, what's the matter with that man?" And she said, "Ain't nothing wrong with him. He's just filled with the Holy Spirit is all." And I looked back at that man, shivering and shaking on that floor, and I thought to myself, the spirit must be carbonated. Now, after the preacher had washed everybody's feet, he himself would enter the sanctuary, and he would strut down the center aisle, and as he did, he would greet different members of the congregation. "Sister Mullins, welcome back. It's so good to see you out of your sick bed. Brother Goins, ain't seen you in a month of Sundays. We're going to have to talk." When he reached the front of the church, he would march back and forth, clapping his hands, stomping his feet, singing those hymns along with the congregants. And after he had sung one or two hymns, he would stop, and he would put his hands up in the air. And when he did that, that entire church would fall silent, and Preacher Grimes would begin to pray. He would pray for the President of the United States and the Congress. And then he would pray for the governor and the state legislature, and then the town council and the mayor and the firemen and the policemen and the postman. It was such a long prayer, said in such a low, melodious voice, that by the time he was finished, I and I'm sure quite a few others in the congregation would be just about to nod off. But that was okay. Because if Preacher Grimes is praying, put you to sleep, his preaching would bring you back. Because Preacher Grimes was a hollering preacher, and he knew how to punge certain words to make you sit straight up in your seat. Now, I didn't care much for hollering preachers. I figured I got hollered at enough at home, but I will say one thing. Never once did I nod off during even one of Preacher Grimes' sermons. In fact, I can still remember the very last sermon that I ever heard him preach. It was about Moses parting the Red Sea. And he said that the reason Moses had been able to do that was because he had a deep faith. And then he said something that made me sit straight up in my seat. He said that if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Now, I had seen lots of seeds in my day. The biggest seed I had ever seen was a peach pit, and while that was pretty big for a seed, I didn't think it would be of much use when it came to mountain moving. Once the sermon was over, Preacher Grimes announced the last hymn, and during that he gave the altar call, which was when the lost souls in the church came forward to be prayed over. And as soon as the last sinner was prayed for, Preacher Grimes would march to the back of the church as we sang the last verse of the hymn. And then he would put his arms up in the air, and he would give the benediction. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other. And then the service was over. And then all of us in the congregation would stand up and get in line to shake Preacher Grimes' hand and tell him how much we had enjoyed his sermon. While we were standing in line that particular day, I asked my mother, who was standing in front of me, Mama, how big is a mustard seed? And she said, well, it's about the size of a pinhead. And then my Aunt Virginia said, well, looky here, Linda. I've got one here in my necklace if you want to see one up close. And she showed me this glass ball that was hanging from a gold chain around her neck. And in the center of that glass ball was a tiny yellow seed. Like my mother said, it was about the size of a pinhead. And all I could think was, wow. And then it was my turn to shake Preacher Grimes' hand, and I said, Preacher Grimes, is it true? Can faith the size of a mustard seed really move a mountain? And he said, well, of course it's true, Linda, because if the good book says it's so, well, then it's so. And again, I thought, wow. And then I heard a woman behind me say, well, Preacher, I think little ears learned a good lesson from your sermon this morning. And I turned to see who was speaking. And I saw a woman. She was dressed in a navy blue velvet hat with a blue satin brim, a navy blue jacket with a blue satin collar, a navy blue velvet skirt, and patent leather navy blue shoes with a matching purse. And she had diamonds in each ear as big as golf balls, and another one hanging from around her neck, and more. One on every finger of each hand, including the thumbs. And I couldn't help myself. I said, lady, are those real? About that time, my mother grabbed me by the ear and pulled me aside. And she looked at the woman and she said, I'm so sorry, Miss Alps. I believe Linda left her manners at home this morning. And then she drugged me out to the car and she said, oh, Linda, you've embarrassed me so much. I'll never be able to hold my head up in this here church again. And as we were getting into the car, I heard my Aunt Virginia say, now, Pauline, don't be so hard on the young'un. That woman wasn't nobody but old Alma Alps. She ain't even a member of our church. She just comes up here once a month or so to visit her poor relations and show off all them diamonds and her big fancy cars. And she went on talking about Alma Alps. And I learned that Alma Alps had once lived on Stone Mountain among the Melungeon people from whom I'm descended. But she was so beautiful that she caught the eye of a rich banker in town. And he fell in love with her at first sight and took her to live with him in his mansion. But after just 2 years of marriage, that man died. And he left everything that he owned to Alma Alps. Now, my Aunt Virginia was pretty sure that Alma Alps had killed that man, but she was so clever in the way she went about it that the police were never able to produce any evidence of foul play. And then Aunt Virginia and my mama got on to another subject, which didn't interest me, so I turned my attention to my brother Alan, who was sitting in the back seat beside me. And I said to him, Alan, did you hear that preacher this morning? He said that faith the size of a tiny mustard seed could move a mountain. Now, I know I got at least that much faith. Alan looked at me and he said, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you think you can move a mountain? I said, I don't think I can move a mountain. I know I can move a mountain because I got faith that's way bigger than a mustard seed. He said, all right, then. We get back to Aunt Virginia's house. I want to see you move Stone Mountain. I looked at him and I said, if that's what you want to see, that is exactly what you will see. There was not a doubt in my mind that I could do it. So when we got back to my Aunt Virginia's house, we ate our dinner, which is what lunch is called in the mountains. And afterwards, we went out behind Aunt Virginia's house. And I leaned forward. And I fixed my attention on Stone Mountain. I held out my hand, Moses-like. And I said in my most commanding voice, move, Stone Mountain, move. Move, Stone Mountain, move. Well, after a few minutes of that, my brother Alan said, don't look like Stone Mountain's going anywhere. And I said, well, it's a big mountain, Alan. This is going to take a while. Move, Stone Mountain, move! And after a few more minutes, Alan said, you know, I don't have time to stand here watching you try to do something that can't be done. So I aim to go take a swim in the lake. And I bet you when I get back, Stone Mountain's still going to be sitting right there. And I said, well, you go on then. When you get back, you're in for a big surprise. And he left. And I got back to the mission at hand. Move, Stone Mountain, move! I stood there like Moses with my hand out for 4 hours. Stone Mountain didn't budge. And all I could think was, boy, I sure am a sorry excuse for a Christian. I don't even have faith the size of a mustard seed. And about that time, my brother Alan came back and he said, well, I see Stone Mountain ain't going nowhere. I looked at him and I said, that's what you think. While you were gone, I moved it all the way over yonder to the west. Didn't look good over there, so I moved it back. Now that night, Aunt Virginia didn't cook supper, which is what dinner is called in the mountains, because there was going to be a covered dish supper at the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church. So we decided to eat there. Now, when we got to that church, we had 3 banquet tables full of food waiting for us. There was roast beef, shepherd pie, Smithfield ham, honey glazed ham, fried chicken, baked chicken, roasted turkey. There were collard greens and green beans, both cooked in ham hocks. There was green bean casserole, squash casserole, tuna fish casserole. There was every kind of cake you can imagine. There was pinto beans and cornbread. There was yeast rolls and biscuits. There was so much food that Preacher Grimes said we could go through the line as many times as we wanted. I myself went through that line 3 separate times. After everyone had eaten their fill, Preacher Grimes announced a hymn sing, which was when different members of the congregation would call out the titles of hymns and the entire church would join together singing a few verses. Now, after the hymn sing, Preacher Grimes stood up and he said, church family, before I dismiss you all this evening, I have something I'd like to discuss with you. You see, our trustees came to me this afternoon, and they told me that the roof of this here church is in bad shape. The fact is, it'll not make it through another rainy season. So what I'd like to do before I send you all home this evening is I'd like to entertain ideas as to how we could put a new roof on this here church. Well, Jughead Gillum stood up and he said he thought we ought to have a barn dance and charge admission. Preacher Grimes shook his head and said, "As long as there's breath in my body, there'll be no dancing in the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church." Then Roma Gillum stood up and she said she thought we ought to have a bake sale. And Preacher Grimes said, "Now the ladies of the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church are as fine a bakers as any I ever knew, but I don't think we'll get enough money for a new roof from a bake sale." And one by one, people offered up their ideas. And one by one, Preacher Grimes told them why their ideas wouldn't work. In the meantime, I was getting an idea of my own. And I raised my hand. Preacher Grimes said, "Linda, you got something you want to say?" I stood up and I said, "Yes, sir. Preacher Grimes, what I want to know is this. Do you have faith the size of a mustard seed?" And he said, "I do. I surely do." And I said, "There's your fundraiser. I want to see you move Stone Mountain. I believe people would pay to see that." Well, the entire church exploded with laughter. Uncle Paul laughed so loud, he spit coffee all over Aunt Virginia's new pink sweater. But my mama wasn't laughing. She was choking. And when the laughter died, Preacher Grimes looked at me and he said, "Now, Linda, what makes you think that God would move a mountain just so we could put a new roof on this here church?" I responded, "Well, he parted the Red Sea for Moses, didn't he?" "Well, yes, he did, Linda, but why did he do that?" I thought for a minute. "Well, if he hadn't have done it, those Egyptians would likely have killed the Israelites." "That's right, Linda. God was in the business of saving lives, and he has to do that every day. I wouldn't feel right asking him to put on a sideshow just so we could put a roof on this here church. Do you understand what I'm saying, Linda?" And I said, "No." And the room exploded with laughter again. But there was one person laughing louder and longer than everybody else, and it was that Alma Alps woman, wearing what looked like the same outfit she'd had on that morning, only it was green this time. And my mother grabbed me by the ear, and she drugged me out to the car, and she said, "Oh, Linda, you've embarrassed me so much, I'll never be able to hold my head up in this here church again." Seemed like she said that every time we went into that church. And as we walked to the car, my Aunt Virginia said, "Did you hear that old Alma Alps laughing back there? Huh. She's got so much money, she could have paid for that whole roof if she wanted to. And not even feel the pinch. But she'll not do it. She's so tight she squeaks." The next Saturday, my Uncle Paul and my Aunt Virginia drove us to the Greyhound bus station and we went home. The following Monday was Labor Day. And the day after that, school started. I had the unfortunate privilege of going to school, the same school, as my brother Alan. And don't you know, he spent the first 2 weeks of school telling everybody that we knew that I had spent my summer trying to move a mountain. And everywhere I went, folks were making fun of me. They were calling me names like Faith Girl, Mountain Mover. They were saying silly things like, "Hey, Linda, I forgot the combination to my locker. How about opening it for me with your faith?" Now, when we had moved to the city, Daddy told us that like as not, people would make fun of us from time to time. And he said the best thing to do if that happened was to just ignore it. And that's exactly what I did. And I found out from that my Daddy was a very wise man. Because within a few weeks, all the teasing stopped. People started asking me for help with their homework, just as they had done the year before. Towards the end of September, one day after school, I came home to find my mother walking around with a silly grin on her face and a blue letter in her hand. I said, "Mama, what's up?" She said, "I'm going to wait and let your daddy tell you when he gets home." That evening at the supper table, my father had that blue letter in his hand. And he said to us, "Family, before we share our evening meal, I have something I'd like to read to you." It's a letter from the Reverend Grimes at the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church. And then he read, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Wright, it was so nice to have you visit us at the Stone Mountain Primitive Baptist Church this past summer. We do hope you'll come and visit us again whenever you're back in these lovely mountains. And would you please tell your daughter, Linda, that we now face the rainy season with no fear. You see, Alma Alps was so moved by Linda's innocent faith that she donated the entire sum needed. Praise the Lord and hallelujah, your friend, the Reverend Charles Grimes." Then my daddy looked at me and he said, "Linda, you moved Alma Alps to donate the money for that roof. And BNS Alps is also the name of one of the largest mountain ranges in the world. Reckon in a roundabout way you did move a mountain." And I looked at my brother and I smiled and he said, "Pass the cornbread." That was 51 years ago. And I still go back to visit Stone Mountain from time to time. And sometimes when I'm there, I work with children in the area. And some of those children aren't treated very well when they go into town. And sometimes they complain to me about that. They say things like, "There's nothing we can do. We're just little kids." Whenever I hear such nonsense, I say, "That's silly. You have the faith of a child, and that's a powerful thing. Why, if it's just the size of a tiny mustard seed, it can move a mountain." And then I tell them the story about the time that faith did just that.
Such a powerful and poignant story. That's why we love the Story Mine, because through it we can hear experiences of life. We're going to be hearing a lot more from Linda Goodman.
Thank you, Linda, for sharing your story with us. Well, that's the end of our show.
Be sure to tune in next week,
Sunday, 8:30 on KPCW Radio, your community source of great storytelling.
I can hardly wait till next week.
Oh, I can.
This is Kathy Barker
and David Bullock.
Goodbye.